Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a couple minutes, we're going to speak with an author, a black author, who has written about Obama and what a fascinating phenomenon we're watching. According to John Zogby, 93% of black voters say they will vote for Barack Obama. And before we get to that author, just a rundown of the polls. Now, polls don't tell us right from wrong. When you're trying to stop the killing of Jews in Germany, you don't rely on the polls. You just cry out from the mountains about injustice and try to fight it. And when you try to stop slavery, you don't look at the polls and say, well, we can't fight against slavery this year. You just fight out. But we have here Obama over John McCain, according to this Reuters C-SPAN Zogby poll, by 9.5 points. And according to John Zogby, and this is just out today, these are blowout numbers. They fit the 1980 model with Ronald Reagan's victory over Jimmy Carter. He says this. He says, Obama right now is leading by 27 points among those who have already voted. You know, the early vote surveys, 16% among newly registered voters, 31% among Hispanics, 93% to 2% among African Americans, 16% among women, that Barack Obama is ahead by, among young voters 18 to 29, he's 27 points ahead, among voters 30 to 49 years old, he's 5 points ahead. Among those 50 to 64 years old, Obama is 8 points ahead. Among those over 65, he's 4 points ahead. Among moderates, he's 25 points ahead. Among Catholics, he's 12 points ahead. This according to John Zogby today, which he points out is better than Bill Clinton's 10-point victory among Catholics back in 96. And he leads men by 2 points and is down among whites by only 6 points. And among NASCAR fans, Barack Obama is tied with John McCain. So those are the poll numbers according to Reuters, C-SPAN, and Zogby. By the way, tomorrow morning, if you have the opportunity to have C-SPAN on, and I'm sorry I don't have a time for you, but you could keep one eye on C-SPAN, and there's a chance I'll be in a panel discussion on the pro-life issue tomorrow morning on C-SPAN. And I'll announce again that CBS News had came out to Denver, sent a producer, interviewed me and other pro-life leaders, and I've heard from that producer just recently an email, and he said, yeah, they got a package on personhood that's been produced, and they expect it'll run on CBS News, evening news, nationally before the election. So we'll let you know if we get any more details. But right now, I want to talk about a book, Obama, Why Black America Should Have Doubts. And this is written by the author of another book, Black American and Christian Maturity. Let's talk to William Owens, Jr. William Owens, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you again, Bob.
It's great. William, you and I met out here in Colorado at a press conference you guys held. We held back-to-back press conferences back in the summer, and it was great to meet you and find out all about the Christian ministry of you and your family. So since that time, you've been busy. You put out a book about Barack Obama. It has a foreword by Dr. Alveda King.
Yes.
Which is pretty exciting, and you guys are exposing Barack Obama. So could you tell us about the book?
Yes, let me just say that, it's important that we hold principles no matter what statistics say.
Mm.
And polls is information that's gathered from among men. But principles have been given us by God.
And wow.
Our commitment is to God's side, not to what the winning side looks like. And our finish line is not November 4th.
Mm.
Our finish line is until Christ returns. Mm. And I want to say that so that we will not be disheartened, but that we would be committed to finishing our course, the course that's set before us, by being a testimony and a testament to the truth. So having said that, I just want to say that the book that I have written, it's been out for about 2 months. It's in Barnes & Noble's and all major bookstores, Obama, Why Black America Should Have Doubts. The whole premise of the book is it takes a candid look at the values that are held by most black Americans, from the definition of marriage to school choice to life, and then it takes in comparison the presidential candidacy, potential that is, of Senator Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And it just does not line up. You know, when you hear the statistics that 92% of black Americans are voting for Barack Obama,
right?
I don't believe it, number one, because I've talked to black Americans, mm-hmm. and I think you're going to see a Bradley effect. I don't know how big of an effect you're going to see, but I think you have a variety of issues going on. A lot of people are afraid to say that they're not voting for him, and a lot of people are just kind of, hopefully people are assuming they are voting for him, but when they get in that voting booth, they're going to do something different. You know, so that's the emphasis and focus of the book.
Well, let's talk through some of these things you've shared so far. We're speaking with William Owens Jr., author of Obama, Why Black America Should Have Doubts. So, William, for starters, oh, and by the way, that book is available online, and it's not only available in print, it's also available as an audiobook.
It sure is. Yours truly does the reading. You can go to doubtsaboutobama.com. We have a 48-hour version that's absolutely free for your enjoyment. It will expire in 48 hours from the time you download it, or you can buy a permanent version that you can burn a CD or put in your MP3. That's available as well, doubtsaboutobama.com.
And, William, when you guys do something, you really do it well.
Well, thank you, Bob.
It's so exciting to get to know you and your ministry, the legacy, really, that you have inherited from your father, the stand, the commitment for the Lord Jesus Christ. And like you started out saying, principles don't come from polls. So
That's right. It
really doesn't matter how many people supported slavery, how many people thought the Jews were expendable, how many people would shout, crucify him. None of those things matter.
That's right.
Principles
That's
come from God, and we are to obey him regardless, and
That's
that the
right.
finish line is not November 4th. Wow.
That's right.
I mean, it's put so perfectly. And so we've got now doubtsaboutobama.com, which is a website that people could send a link. And I would recommend this because of you're coming from the perspective of a Christian black American. And this is why black America should have doubts. So people listening could send an email to black friends or coworkers and say, hey, have you seen this website, doubtsaboutobama.com? And if I understood you correctly, they could download and listen to they could stream and listen to the audio version of the book for free for 2 days. Or they
That's
could
right.
pay the fee, like buying any book, and get a permanent download.
That's right. That's right. And that's only $11.95. And I'd like to make a shout-out right quick. Is that okay, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be in Colorado this coming weekend. I'll be there for a couple of days. And so we're looking forward to have a good time there. And a wonderful person by the name of Paige is actually responsible for putting that together, and she's giving me permission for those who'd be interested in connecting with us in that area. You know, I would like for you to simply reach out to us to get more information on that. You can contact her at 303-621-8641 for more information. So I'm going to be there this weekend. So, yeah, but the audiobook is available, and we wanted to make it available so people could quickly listen to it, and perhaps people who have not yet voted could get some more information and reconsider their position.
All right. So now, as we talk through, could we start, William, with a discussion of why is it that black churches, why do you think black churches have not recognized how aggressively immoral Barack Obama is and warned their parishioners? Because if the black pastors had done that all along, if they warned their church members that Barack Obama has a godless worldview, then he would not see this tidal wave of support. We don't know exactly what the numbers will be, but he wouldn't have it. But in fact, the black pastors have not warned their members. So where did that break down?
Well, you know, I think you have a variety of factors. Number one, I don't believe every black pastor, and I know you're not suggesting that, is supporting Barack Obama. I know you're not suggesting that. I think the media has done a great injustice to making it a, you know, across-the-board assumption that all black Americans are voting for him.
Yeah, in fact, William, I network with a handful of black pastors in Ohio and Illinois and Colorado, and these guys are heroes of the faith, and they also teach the morality that God reveals in his word and has put in our heart and our conscience, and they cry out against the shedding of innocent blood, the killing of black children by Planned Parenthood. And so these pastors, these black pastors, are warning their congregation against Barack Obama's candidacy.
Right. Yeah, but for the majority part, you're right. You are saying some issues that deserve attention. And let me just kind of hit the nail on the head. If I can, I'll try to do that. You have a variety of issues going on here. Number one, you have the issue of victimization. There's been a lot of injustices that's been done toward the black American, and a lot of people feel that this would be vindication. A lot of people are seeing this as a step toward, you know, equality, if you will. How better could it get, and that is having a black president? How much better could it be? But if you really want to get specific and want to stay on line with points, first of all, he would not be the first black American president. He would be the first Arab president. That's first of all. So technically speaking, that's something we need to understand. Second of all...
Let's start with that first point. I don't want you to lose your track of points, but on the first half of what you just said, William Owens, I have to admit that's true with me too. I would be elated for our nation to have a black leader. I would be elated because I have a deep personal hatred for racism. Hatred. Racism against the Jews, racism against blacks, against any person. It's an expression of sin, and it's an especially vile and insidious expression of sin. So to have a black president would be something to celebrate. And in fact, I'm going to vote for Alan Keyes, who's on the ballot in California, Florida, Colorado, elsewhere. His running mate, Columbine dad, Brian Rohrbaugh. But last I checked, Alan Keyes is black. But I don't want to support a black leader who advocates the aborting, the decimating of the black community by Planned Parenthood and aborting 10 million baby boys and girls, little black children. So I don't support that black, but I think you're right that there are tens of millions of Americans who would be ecstatic to have a black leader.
Yeah, I for one, but we can never put our pigmentation before principle.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we quote Dr. Martin Luther King on a variety of occasions, many times when it suits our own convenience, but it's something that he said that's larger than him, and he said we can never judge a man by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. And something that Jesus so emphatically said many times to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, judge righteous judgment. And so that requires discernment. And, you know, when you look at this country, you know, the oldest republic in the world, but in many ways we're still very naive when it comes to weighing in on issues that matter most. You know, we have every convenience that the world is envious of. We have every advantage that people do their best to come into this country to acquire. When it comes to making some solid, you know, judgments, you know, I sad to say, I find ourselves being very, very surface. You know, and so when you talk about putting someone potentially in the most powerful position in this country, race should never be the issue. It should be, who is this person? Who are they? What do they stand for? You know, does their history testify of them? Do their acquaintance, you know, speak for them?
All right.
These are the things that should matter most.
Okay, now, and you said if we want the first black leader, you know, the whole joke that Bill Clinton paraded around as though he were the first black president. And, of course, he was, you know, he was out for Bill Clinton and whatever immorality that he could accomplish in his life. That's what he was out for. But you said that Barack Obama is an Arab American, and that's shocking to a lot of people. Why would you say that?
Well, I mean, it's not a secret at Senator Obama's, you know, his Muslim heritage. You know, his mother was actually, you know, white. His father was more Muslim than he was black. He was African Muslim. And he's only about 6.25% Negro black American. So when you take a look at that, it just should be understood who he really is. And that's no indictment. We should celebrate everyone's heritage. But one of the things that Senator Barack Obama has done is not really, you know, been very forthright about who he is. You know, of course he talks about his mother, he talks about his father, but at the end of the day, you know, it's important that we understand that his heritage, not only in terms of his ethnicity, but also in his upbringing, you know, is not black American. He moved to Chicago for the purpose of entering into politics, not for the purpose of coming back to his people, if you would. Mm. You know, the purpose for him moving to Chicago was to get involved and get in the trenches of politics. And he knew in order to do that effectively and successfully was to begin in the stumping ground of the civil rights movement and to build off of that grievance and to build himself a platform for his political aspirations.
All right. So, William Owens, I interrupted you. You said, first off, you know, we don't go for our leader based on pigment, but on principles. And you
right.
were going to give us a rundown. Could you continue with that?
Sure. And so the question, if I recall you asking me, is what are those reasons that I'm pointing out on why we should be cautious of Barack Obama? Well, first of all, he's not, as I said, not a black American. Second of all, let's just take a look at the things that are important to black families if we want to target that audience. And I think these reasons resonate with Americans, period, because these are just issues that are important to people who celebrate life. You hit on abortion. Abortion is something that's really taking its toll upon the black community. I don't think a lot of people realize, but the black community, the black population is actually in the negative right now. We're declining. And
so,
if anyone was going to celebrate, you know, a potential black president, you would think at least they would celebrate their own race. Well, that's not the case. Barack Obama is being endorsed by Planned Parenthood. And at the same time, Planned Parenthood has 80% of their operations within black communities. And he's also, you know, of course, being endorsed by him, but also accepting, you know, financial support from them. And he's emphatic about keeping Planned Parenthood strong and healthy. So, you know, that's another issue we have. Also, when you take a look at school choice, most black families would send their children to a school of their choice. Those are our tax dollars. He does not support that. You know, he wants to continue to pump tax dollars into a failed school system. You know, so those are just a few areas. Mm-hmm. You know, when you take a look at his tax program, two-thirds of small businesses are responsible for providing jobs in our communities. And should that tax program be implemented, it's going to hit the small business owner very hard. And as a result, the black community is going to suffer for that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just a handful of issues there, Bob.
Just a handful, right, William Owens? And there are so many. Barack Obama's life seems to be committed to a worldview that is not a Christian, Judeo-Christian worldview, but a secular humanist, anti-biblical worldview. And since God made us, he knows how we function best. And so, for example, with increasing taxes on small businesses and how that would, of course, hurt the job market, which would hurt the middle class and lower middle class. But then also, William, if we just talked about welfare, for example, as an example of how some well-meaning ideas end up backfiring. It seems to me that when people get taxed higher for various entitlement programs, when the government taxes my family higher, it hurts a bit. It hurts a bit, but we just work harder and we reduce our spending and we continue with our great lives. But the people who are really decimated are the people who are the recipients of the entitlement programs. It's
right.
Insidious. How it just destroys generations from within.
It does. In fact, the very core of our existence, and when you take a look at, the position that America came into being, the Declaration of Independence, it immediately addresses that these are inalienable rights that God has given us. And those inalienable rights and powers for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So when you look at that, those rights we have are God-given. Mm. And that testifies to our own innate ability. So when you suggest that in order for a group of people to somehow make it or take care of themselves requires man's intervention, i.e. government, what you're really saying is you don't have what it takes to take care of yourself. Mm. And I find that very offensive. I find it very degrading for any one person to think that of another person. So even Obama's idea of spreading the wealth, why would he take it upon himself to assume that he knows exactly what my neighbor needs? Why would he assume that he knows exactly what would be our cure-all?
That's exactly right.
Obviously, to him, the cure-all is to take from one person and give to another.
Yeah,
and it's nothing but socialism and Marxism.
That's right, William Owens. And if he takes more money from me and my family, you know what? We'll survive it. But when he gives that money to other people, they will have a much more difficult time overcoming that injustice.
Because exactly.
It attacks the human being at his core center of dignity and self-respect and upholding God's enduring commands like do not murder and do not commit adultery, do not steal. These are fundamental principles of governance that God has given us in his word. William, we're about out of time. I want to get the website again to the audience, doubtsaboutobama.com.
Right, doubtsaboutobama.com. You can download a free 48-hour version. From the time it hits your computer, you have 48 hours to listen to it. You can also, if you're interested in getting more information about where I'm going to be there in Colorado, why don't you just send an email to bookings, that's bookings, at higherstandard.net, and we'll be glad to get some information to you.
Bookings
on how
at
we can connect.
higherstandard.net, and then it's Paige Evans, right? She's the one who set this up.
Right, she set this up.
Yeah, I'm so appreciative of Paige for doing that.
Thank you, Paige.
Yes, and you know what? We want to keep in touch with you, William. You're out in North Carolina, right?
Yes, I am.
And what you're doing out there in North Carolina is similar to what so many conservative Christians are doing around the country, trying to raise a standard that does not compromise. So
well,
thank you for your work and your book and your ministry.
Obama, Why Black America Should Have Doubts. Go to Barnes & Noble and buy it today.
All right. God bless you, William Owens, Jr. All right,
thank you, Bob.
That was great to have William on again. And that website, doubtsaboutobama.com, doubtsaboutobama.com. Yesterday, we had a thunderclap that took our transmitter off the air. And so we're going to air this excerpt off of YouTube from The Simpsons again about voting for a third party. And you know the scene, right? Aliens have come down and abducted Bill Clinton and Bob Dole. So let's hear it.
March, March, I was abducted by a flying saucer. That's one of the creatures.
Senator Dole, why should people vote for you instead of President Clinton?
It makes no difference which one of us you vote for. Either way, your planet is doomed. Doomed!
These candidates make me want to vomit in terror. I've got to stop them.
Ladies and gentlemen, 73-year-old candidate Bob Dole.
Yay! Abortions for all. Very well. No abortions for anyone. Abortions for some, miniature American flags for others. Yay! Yay! Fooling these Earth voters is easier than expected.
Yes. But tonight, I say, we must move forward, not backward, upward, not forward. Those candidates are phonies. You heard me. They're alien replicants from beyond the moon.
Yeah, right, pal.
Why won't anyone believe my crazy story?
The politics of failure have failed. We need to make them work again. Tomorrow, when you are sealed in the voting cubicle, vote for me, Senator Bob Dole.
America, take a good look at your beloved candidates. They're nothing but hideous space reptiles. It's true. We are aliens. But what are you going to do about it? It's a two-party system. You have to vote for one of us.
You're right. This is a two-party system.
Well, I believe I'll vote for a third-party candidate.
Go ahead. Throw your vote away.
All hail President K.
I don't understand why we have to build a ray gun to aim at a planet I never even heard of.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
Go!
Yeah, more wisdom in that short excerpt from The Simpsons than we get from so many of our national Christian ministries. And for the most part, our Christian leaders have lost the foundation from which to be a good influence on our government. In San Francisco now, there's their Proposition K on the ballot to legalize prostitution. And we act in shock and horror, right? But our Christian leaders, they have given up on God's principle that sex is only legal within marriage. So our Christian leaders believe that pornography, there's a free speech right to pornography. That's our Christian leaders. They don't think that the government should recriminalize pornography. They think that homosexuality is your right. They think that adultery and fornication is your right. So if that's our Christian leaders' beliefs, remember Focus on the Family, equal rights for homosexuals? Taught the whole nation that. So then what do we expect from San Francisco secular leaders? Of course they're going to legalize prostitution eventually.